The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. You're going to see that brand new, that ebook, five bullet points to all 10 paragraphs. I got another book coming out with it, another free ebook. It's a 30-day plan, but this is something you could do for as long as you want. I've introduced the first pretty much program here where we're going to use a power rack and we're going to learn how to not only, well, this is before more an intermediate lifter, but someone that's never done it, I always say put it in your back pocket and get ready. We're going to work on the squat, obviously, if everyone knows how to do a conventional squat, which I hope you do. But if you've never done anything in the rack with partials, you're going to learn how to do it and do it right. We add a sandbag routine basically to it, but we give you one movement for the weight work. On Wednesday, you're going to see the sandbag stuff I do or with any of my clients here, but one of them I threw in that I use to lift stones. It's pretty nasty, and it's basically walking distance, dropping it, retooling it, picking it up, going again, dropping it. We use all various size sandbags. I've had a lot of success with stone lifting doing that, so I threw that in there because I know we've got a lot of people now turned on to stones from this show, and I couldn't be happier. And then, obviously, the bench press. We know how people love the bench press. I had to throw that in there. I felt like that was something people would just get right into. Obviously, it's the conventional bench press and then doing lockouts. If you listen to the show I just did with John Bruni, I've been training a severe power rack routine right now called top from top down. Basically, it's going to be the heavier weight that you want to get to at a parallel dead stop, and you're going to take it down piece by piece by piece. So whether you're slipping in quarter inch plywood, eighth inch, you get it to that where it's going to go down 2 inches to that next hole. Very interesting stuff, very brutal stuff, but if you really want to get some mental energy and learn, it's all there. Also, too, I told people, I don't know if this is going to be a chapter book or an e-book or it's going to be a regular book. I'm in the process right now. It's going to be very slow because of all the stuff going on here. I'm writing a book called Mental Scrimmage. Wait till you see here this thing. It's all out of here. It's going to be a lot different from what you've read in other books, I guarantee you. So be on the lookout for that stuff. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. You can go out and look at anything you want out there. And speaking of people that we've had on before, we have our good friend Brittany Diamond on here. Now, I had done a podcast with her months ago, and we had a big problem here. I know that I talked about this, and I don't even want to get into it, but I want to explain this because it deserves an explanation why you haven't seen that podcast ever before. We had a major crash here. And it wasn't due to us. It was due to my hosting company. And the person that I was connected with prior to that decided to shut us off on that end. So we lost everything to such and such date. We were able to restore a few of them, but we couldn't get Brittany's and many others back. So I'm glad we got her back again, and we want her to keep coming back so we can build not only a great relationship with her and our family, but we want to have her out there. She'll be here she'll be on our hard drive, so to speak, forever. So, Brittany, welcome back.
Hi, Eric. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. Now, Brittany's a strong woman, and I would tell you where I saw her out on Facebook, and I was very impressed with her. And if I like what I see you're doing, I'm always going to try to contact you and try to get you on the show. If you want to come on, you know, I'd love to have you on. We're going to talk about two things, strongman community and some injuries and how injuries I hate to say it, and we're both going to explain it, injuries can make you into a better lifter, and we don't want to see anybody do that. But, Brittany, before we bring you in, why don't you give everybody your website and anything else that you would like to add?
Of course. So, Brittany Diamond, 24-year-old strong woman competitor. I've been competing competitively now for 2 years. My website is bdimestraining.com. I'm known as B-Dimes, just obviously first initial and last name, B-Dimes. Always wearing pink, always, you know, yep. Wearing sparkly things. That's kind of, you know, how people in the community know me as. And I take a lot of pride in that, you know, females can be just as strong as males and, yep. You know, look good while doing it.
And not only that, the females today, and this is nothing against females, most of them look better than guys. Most guys to me are a bunch of, I'm not going to get it because I'm going to use vulgarity. I'm not going to.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Well, we can to a point, but I'll save it. Maybe as we get in the show when we get wild with it, then you might hear a few things coming out. But a lot of the girls are more, have more strength than the guys. And, society's a pretty funny place these days, but, you know, we've got a lot of strong women on here, and it doesn't matter to me. We had Rachel Pyron on last night. We were all talking about her show in Florida and all that. I love all that stuff. Strength to me is strength. I don't really care. You know, if you're not shoving it down somebody's throat, you know, and you can get it across to somebody where they're going to like it and want to try it, that's what it's all about. So let's go into the strongman community. I know what you told me before. I'm not going to say the name. Why don't you tell us a little bit what has happened with you in the strongman community as of late?
Yeah, so as of lately, so, you know, I guess something that we talked about earlier that was kind of cool that I think is pretty amazing is just a couple days ago, I actually trained over with Brian Shaw, who's currently World's mm-hmm. Strongest Man, as many people on here, I'm sure, know who he is.
Yep.
And
yep.
It just got me thinking, you know, how amazing the community really is and how, you know, a lot of the relationships and friendships I have with people are from the community. And I think it's pretty amazing because, you know, it's like I'm confident that I could go anywhere in the world and be able to connect with someone. Even if yep. I haven't met them in person, you know, if I know them from social media or something, and feel at home. You know, I was in Colorado yep. and I went out and trained with Brian, and it felt like just being back at home at the gym with the regular people I train with. It's just you form a bond because of the sport, and it's amazing. Yes, it's extremely competitive, but at the same time, it's like it's nice to know someone has your back, and, you know, your competitors are going to cheer you on. Of course, you know, sometimes it can get a little bit ugly, but I think it's amazing that you can go anywhere in the world. You know, I have friends all over the world that I've been able to connect with. So it's really amazing to have this. I played, you know, a sport in college, so it's nice to kind of have family, I guess, all over the world.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is, too? I think a lot of it is we have admiration for one another, whether we compete against one another or not. How can't you admire somebody that's breaking their butt in a gym or outside training? They're training with objects that, you know, we know literally can break you or kill you if you're not careful. But yet, there's that inner drive within all of us that wants to succeed. You know, and not everybody has good days. Not everybody gets to World's Strongest Man. But, you know, the thing is, you're out there making a difference and making yourself better. There's not many, I'm telling you, I don't even know if I equate what we do as a sport. You know why? Because I'm not a big fan of a lot of sports anymore. I don't like a lot of the crap that goes on in them. You know, I like the idea that, well, I'll tell you the reason why I got into this. I mean, I played organized sports right through high school, and the whole deal. But I knew when I touched a barbell, it was a different thing. And I liked playing team sports, but I also liked the individual. And I'll tell you why, and I'll go right back. I want to hear what you say. I like the deal where it falls on my shoulders. And I know we got people, coaches, and others helping us. But the bottom line is, when Eric or Brittany go out on the field, it's us, all right? The coach isn't going to lift it for you. Your family's not going to lift it for you. And I'll tell you, like, when we were in Iceland, and people are cheering, and you're trying to get the stone up, or you're carrying it, you don't hear them, number one, and everybody's a blur. Why? Because if you're really concentrating, you're not hearing any external stuff. So that was the reason why when I grabbed that sand weight set the first time, I was like, wow, there's something really big here, something special, and that started the whole thing. I never got into organized sports again after that. It was strictly weightlifting, period. So go ahead, take it.
No, I agree with you in that sense, and it's funny because my original sport, my first love was track, and again, it's an individual sport. You know, if I won a race, it was on me. I ended up for 4 years doing rowing, which I'm very, very thankful for because it taught me, you know, extreme hard work and teamwork.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, you know, if I lost a race, you know, there's seven other people in the boat, and it's something that's just kind of hard to justify. It's like, how do I know they were going above and beyond and pushing to their absolute limits like I was? Now, with rowing, you know, I had for the first time gotten into lifting. You know, we met a couple times a week when we weren't in season. And I fell in love. Like, I remember my first lift that I absolutely fell in love with was front squats. Now, because of my track background, I was just pretty good at them. And I just loved that. It was just on me. It was just me and the barbell. And it was something that I could continuously see progress with. Now, I stumbled upon how I got into the sport was I was on Facebook and I stumbled upon a novice strongwoman competition in 2013. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, well, I love lifting. This looks like a cool sport. So I tried it, and now I'm kind of addicted to competing alone. Like I said, I love having, you know, the support when you're training other people and the community, but I love that at the end of the day, it's on me. So if I don't lift something or if I don't place where I want to be, I have no one to blame but myself. And I look at that saying, what could I have done differently? How can I improve as an athlete and as a person? And I love that sense of responsibility.
Well, you know, it is, too. It really is, if you think about it. Now, I don't want to get all analytical here because I think people nowadays are a bit too analytical. But it does make you really examine yourself, and it really sets your priorities. As I say, it sets the table for you because, you know, we were talking about business today, and it was real interesting. And, you know, I mean, you dabble in a lot of things, and you understand the entrepreneur end of things. It's really amazing, and I'm just going to tell you from my own experience. You know, I was very good in IT. I mean, it afforded me a great living, but when it was done, and there was no going back. I wanted to do this all along, but I needed that last shove to try this. And I won't even say try it because I don't try anything. I do it. And the big thing that I found from this whole thing is this. You know, when you don't go after something you really want to do, you're going to regret it. And I don't care what anybody tells you. And lifting for me has afforded me the diligence and the commitment and the action steps to go after anything I like. You know, we were talking yesterday and we were laughing our ass off. We were talking about, you know, everything from training, from, you know, you can't separate the gym from yourself. I love people say to me, well, you're just going to lift and go home, right? And I'm like, well, my house is right outside the gym. And when I stop lifting, I don't stop lifting. I might be going in and doing something different. But I said, if you understand physical culture, that stuff's in your DNA. I got a big thing with this Sunday with my buddies. They say the same thing. They don't believe that you just learn to lift. They believe you were born with it. I do too, totally. And I don't believe there's any separation when we walk out of the gym, and I'll explain it clearly to you. That stuff, the iron, the stone, I don't care. You're touching it. You're absorbing it. That's in your bloodstream. I will fight that with anybody. I believe that because if you don't have that type of belief, it'd be like anything you do. Well, I just do that, so what's it matter when I'm here? I don't separate my body from what I do in there, period, all right? And I think that's worked it in to my advantage all the time. But we were talking yesterday on the show, and we were laughing, and, you know, we were talking about that same thing I just said to you and relationships, and we're laughing because we're like, you know, I got friends of mine that I'll be like, well, I really like her. I said, well, go ask her out. Well, I don't know. She might not like me. I said, you know something, man? You need to grow a set of Kyoons. And if she doesn't like you, she's going to tell you, all right? Or if you go up and ask her to dance, if she doesn't want it, there's 10 million damn girls in the world, man. Go, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know what? That's what lifting has taught me more than anything. It's the self-confidence. You know something? I like people that are cocky. You don't have to be an asshole to people, but I like that, and that to me is self-confidence. I like people that will walk up and talk to you, or, you know, you're out with somebody and you're acting like an asswipe, and they put you right back in your place. I like that in people. I think that's very attractive in people. And all those things we do with lifting, if you let it make the sense to you, it should, and really get involved with it, because I believe iron, stone, they're objects, but it's like if you know anything about the law of anything, of attraction, everything has a vibrational feel to it. I believe all that stuff does. People say I'm crazy. It doesn't matter. I know what I know when I'm out there. I know what it feels like when I'm out of there. As much as I love this work here, and I love it to death, if it gave me one or the other, I'd be sitting in that iron hole right now, you know, doing whatever I got to do. But it's a nice marriage I got between the two of them. And I think that if you can realize that, you can be very successful with that, and you can be very successful in your personal life. And this is what, Brittany, we're trying to really push here with everybody, because we've got a lot of young listeners now on coming into the show. And believe it or not, we've got people up to over 80 years old that have sent me things through through my through my email. They'll tell me they love to walk and listen to the show. I mean, I'm not laughing or anything. I'm like, okay, now they're hearing you and I talk. I mean, it's a killer show already, but it's like, well, I'm never going to put a globe over my head, or I'm going to wear pink sparkles, or I'm going to be like some maniac running down the street with a 400-pound rock. But that's not the point. See, what I've done with people is I've tried to make them feel comfortable with what we do here and give them inspirational stuff where, hey, you walk a quarter mile more, maybe an eighth of a mile more. That's what I try to do with all this stuff, but that's enough of that. Let me go back to you, comment or come out with everything.
Yeah, well, something I want to talk about that is because I was in the same, you know, people always look at me and say stuff and they're like, oh, you've been strong your whole life. Like, you understand it. You've been an athlete. And one of my favorite stories to share is my 450-pound deadlift that I did a couple months ago. Actually, it was right after the Arnold. So it was April of this year. Now, you know, I deadlifted and stuff in college here and there. And when I started, you know, Strong Woman, I had to actually learn how to deadlift. I didn't know, before I was kind of like pulling a bar up and down, you know, I had to learn, you know, how to actually do it right. And I remember thinking, I want to pull 300. And that came. And then I remember, you know, saying like, oh, I'm going to pull 315. And one of my favorite moments is when I was prepping for the Arnold in 2015, one of the events was a 375-pound deadlift. It started with a regular bar, and then it progressed to an axle, which is, you know, the thicker bar for max reps. And not lying, the heaviest when I tried, I had given myself about 7 weeks before that, I had taken a deload that my coach gave me, and my goal was to try and pull as heavy as I could. And I remember I hit 335, and I was extremely worried because I was like, okay, how am I going to pull, you know, 375? How am I going to do it? And I remember telling myself, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it.
There you go. That's right.
And I did it. I did it that day, and it was one of the best feelings of my life. And then I remember, so that was in March of 2015, and I remember that summer, for the first time, I pulled four plates, which is 405.
Yep.
And, you know, from there, it's just crazy, because never in my life, and I guess the point from the story is, if you told me when I first started I'd be pulling 450, my jaw would have been open and I would have been like, hell no, that's just not physically possible.
Exactly.
And I think half of it's mental and half of it's physical. And people might say that's kind of a ridiculous measurement. How can it be half and half? And I truly believe that it is half and half. Like, if you want something mentally, obviously you have to do the work physically to get there. But if you believe it mentally, it's going to happen. And I know that I'm going to pull 500 at some point in my life. Like, there's no question now.
Well, I'm sure you will. I mean, you know, if you go after everything with that type of spirit, there's no way it's going to – hey, look, you and I both know, especially in what we do, there's a lot of heartache with this stuff, man. I mean, you can fail multiple times, and you're going to learn every multiple time you go down. But the whole thing is this. Little steps, I always say here with the younger kids, you take little bites out of the apple and pretty soon you've devoured the whole thing, all right? The problem I think right now, especially I see with the younger high school kids, is there's too much media out there, and there's too much BS in there, too. There's still some good things, don't get me wrong, but a lot of the stuff is fiction to me, and a lot of it's dangerous. And then, you know, they're asking, well, should I take creatine? Should I take – I'm saying, hey, you know what you do? Eat real good and let's train, and then let's see what we're going to do next. But give it a full year, and let's just see what you can do. Because if you're training well, you're going to eat pretty damn good. You're going to eat good food. Yeah, I know everybody says cheat days, this and that. I don't know. After a while, like now, even if I had, like the other night, it was my niece's birthday, and my sister's a killer baker. And I had a piece of cake. I got to tell you, I felt like I was going to get sick because I don't eat sugar much. And, you know, of course, with frosting and the cake and all, I was like, holy shit. And they're like, you want more? I was like, uh-uh. I mean, I and it wasn't anything that was like psycho either. It was like, I don't eat that stuff, and it doesn't make me feel well. So when I tell those guys this stuff, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, I'm telling you right now, don't waste your money. Let's just get in here and train and eat really good food. So I don't think that. You know, I think the whole thing is, yes, I do believe it's 50-50. It could be whatever you see it mentally and physically. But the kids now, they need to get in with good trainers, because I've had kids come here that it was really bad. I mean, it was not only physically, it was a lot of mental abuse. And you know, the thing is, you and I both know a lot of trainers take one size and thinks it's going to fit all. Mm-hmm. That's a low. You and I both. Hey, look, you know, you're training in the heavyweight division. Now, Rachel is a lightweight, all right? Now, what you do, she's probably not going to be able to do. And what she does, you would dominate. So, I mean, how am I going to train Brittany the same way I train Rachel? I mean, it's not going to happen. And I think now, because of the pressure not only to, you know, for a gym, you got to make money. You got high rent usually in these places, a lot of overhead if you got people hired. You've got to do this. It's just like school. It reminds me of like the assembly line kid. It all works for one, so it's going to all work for all. And we know that's not true. So I try to go the complete opposite with them. And I like using, you know, I'll have them read certain books, anything to like encourage them to think. A big book here I use on them is Think and Grow Rich. And I had one kid's mother say, well, that's all about finances. Well, I said, I think they should learn finances. But I said, it's not all, at all about finances. It's about learning how to think. And when you can think, you can do things. And when you can do things, guess what? The guys and girls that were in the pack with you, you step out of the pack and you start setting your own standard and going for whatever it is you want. That's what I try to do. I do that with my nieces and nephews, too. You know, they're only 14 to 6. I know, and I don't lay the big heavy load on them, but I just give them like a little turn every time, you know? And I think that is a great way to get a kid to start moving, to motivate him, to get him to think. So what do you think?
I agree. No, and, you know, talking about motivation, like I said, I shared my deadlift story with you and, you know, whoever else is listening. But I was in an Uber the other day on the way to the airport, and, you know, the guy said something about my muscles. And I said, oh, yeah, thank you. And he was like, well, what do you do? Are you a bodybuilder? And I said, no, I do this. And he was, you know, he's like, oh, every year I join a gym. Because I think that paying for it up front is going to motivate me to go. He's like, but I don't go. You know, and I've heard this story so many times. And being an athlete, sometimes, you know, it's, you know, because there's two classes of people. There's the regular gym goers and there's athletes. Now, for anyone listening that's just going for a walk or anything like that, you know, you really have to think. I don't care if you're not an athlete. Everyone has goals. And I think that's the most important aspect if you want motivation, is to really look at yourself. You don't need to tell anyone, but you really need to dig deep and figure out, what are your goals? Who are you doing this for? You know, are you doing it just to set a good example for your children? Are you doing it because you maybe had a family member that passed away early from an illness? Are you doing this because, you know, you want to lose weight? Or, you know, I don't care what your goal is, have them. And once you know, I think it takes a few months, maybe even years, for some people that haven't, you know, exercised before or really chased their goal. Once you do it enough, it's such a habit.
Yeah.
Now, and how I'll use, so for example, I was a little bit jet lagged coming back to work yesterday after, you know, the long weekend, Labor Day, and being away. And I got like 3 hours of sleep because my flight was delayed because of the storm. And I went to work for a full day yesterday, and I was like, I really want to go home and take a nap.
Yeah.
But I was like, if I don't lift tonight, then my whole schedule is going to be messed up because I have an event at work this week and I know I can't go to the gym on Thursday. So
right.
I sucked it up and I went. Now, that's not always the best choice because, you know, if you're extremely tired and you think you're going to get injured because you're so tired you can't keep your eyes open, that might not be the smartest choice. But last night,
right.
I ended up having an amazing session. So I just think what? That it's...
Not to interrupt you, why did I know you were going to say that? I've had that happen to me so many times.
Yeah, I know. It seems to be the way.
And did you ever have those days where you thought about it all day and you go in and you bomb out?
Yeah.
I've had, of course. Yeah, and there we go again, overthinking it. You're all pumped up all day at work, and then you walk into the gym and you fall flat on your ass. Yeah.
And I think, you know, and it's funny because whoever's listening that's, you know, seeking the motivation, it's, you know, and it's, I can't tell you what motivates you. And, you know, some people need a coach to have the guidance. But I think, again, like I said, half and half, it's half mental, like knowing what your goals are and being unstoppable in the pursuit of them. But with that being said, you're going to mess up sometimes. You're going to fail. You're not going to be 100% all the time. But over time, if you can just be consistent, you know, that leads to days, and then days leads to weeks and months and years and so forth. And it's just like the sooner you can set the good habits, the better. So if you're a parent, you know, that just wants to get into shape now, and maybe you're 40, that's fine.
Yep.
Do it, because then right now you're setting an example, a positive example for what your children should be doing.
Absolutely. And you know something, we're going to get into injuries in a moment, but I'll tell you right now, you hit it right on the head with the kids. This is my opinion, Brittany, and it's a lot of others on here too. Kids right now in a lot of places are suffering in a lot of ways. And, you know, for all the things we're blessed with, especially with, you know, able to get our businesses out all over. And look, you're in Boston, I'm in New York. You and I are speaking to each other like we're in the same room. I mean, but on the other hand, this shit is a curse too. And when it doesn't work, it's a real pain, but that's a whole nother thing. here's the deal. Kids are so hooked on this stuff. I mean, this is becoming a way of life. And I mean that, you know, you read things, a lot of people go in or can't even communicate in a job interview anymore. I know I've been in restaurants, go out, I don't know if they're husband and wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. They don't even look up at each other, and they're hardly eating. They're texting the whole time. If some girl did that to me, I'd get up and excuse myself and walk out the door and leave. You know, I mean, it's just plain, flat-out rude. And what we're losing here is we're losing the ability to communicate, and then you got all these obese kids now, and it's like we've got to get them into this physical stuff we love to do. Now, you don't have to be lifting – big, huge dumbbells overhead or bent rows or running with stones. That's not my point. But strongman that we do, I think it is the greatest sport. Well, I'm not going to use sport. The greatest feat of strength I've ever seen. But here's something I've had so much success with, and I'm sure you have too. You can take almost anything we do and knock it down to any level and any size weight. And I use this with a lot of the young athletes. I start them out on sandbags, whether we're doing step-ups, bear hugs, and running with them, you know, whether we're cleaning it shoulder to shoulder, whatever we're doing, the results are phenomenal. And what I found it does, not only do I feel it's phenomenal, it really sets them up mentally. And I love the mental end of training more than you'd ever know right now, because I think there's so many things you can do mentally to influence yourself to not only be a great lifter, but just a good person, man. When you're out in the real world, it doesn't matter what anybody says or does. You can handle it, and you can decide what you want to do with it. And I think that's the key to success. You know, you do things, you do them well, and other people are going to emulate you. There's no doubt about it. What do you think on that?
Absolutely. No, and I think, you know, setting a good example, you know, is key. I go to a Titan Barbell, and the owner, Eric Dawson, Pro Strongman, has two daughters. And it's so awesome to witness them. Like, they see us doing stuff, and then, you know, they get a little bashful sometimes, but the older one, Olivia, you know, she wanted to lift a sandbag a few weeks ago, and she did, just because she's around it and seeing it. And so, you know, I think just being in that atmosphere is extremely important for people growing up. And then another thing I wanted to touch upon, because you had mentioned this when you had talked about going on dinner and seeing two people not communicating.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's something that, you know, is a double-edged sword. I actually have this conversation kind of quite often with friends, because I'm pretty active on social media.
Okay.
But what I let myself do, because I noticed at one point I actually had gone through a bad breakup, and that's when I started blogging and putting out my lists, and you know, turned into a very, very positive thing for me. But at one point I was almost like I was checking it too much, and it got to the point where I was like wasting time. So what I did for myself, which really works for me, is I allow myself to check it 3 times a day. So I check it in the morning on my commute to work. I check it at lunch, and then I check it at night, and at night I let myself spend a little bit more time on it because, you know, I also want to read what's going on in the strength world, see my competitors lift, see my own lifts, and just, it's like, I educate myself. But with that being said, you know, it's like you really, really, really have to set the limits, because I think it's absolutely disgusting, and it really bothers me when I have friends that I'm sitting there hanging out with them. You know, our time is valuable. We train a lot. We work. And they're sitting there Snapchatting. Now, yes, I've been guilty of this. But you know what? I mean, if you're hanging out one-on-one with someone, respect that. I understand that people have online businesses. But it's like there has to come a point where you put the damn phone down and have look someone in the eye, okay? It's called respect. And that is something that I feel extremely passionate about, because I see – and I'm the first one to tell someone. You know, if I'm out with someone, I'll tell them, put your phone down.
Well, no, I agree with you, because if you're out on a date, that person who's with you should be the most important thing to you.
Exactly. I agree. I agree. And, I've had several conversations with people like this, and I love when people can see eye to eye. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we're all kind of guilty of it. That's why I put my phone on silent, and I actually take the vibration off. Otherwise, it's distraction. It's kind of like, I forget what it's called, but I was learning something one time in a psychology class where you take something away. So I've had, and I've witnessed this myself, if you put your phone on silent, you think you almost hear it. And you're like, wait, that's actually not possible.
So. Yeah, I mean, it'll make you nuts. That's what will end up happening. No, I agree. But I think that's why when I said about, you know, my buddies and other people I know, you know, I don't know if she likes me, you know, in the text and this and that. I'm like, you know something, what you got to do is you got to turn back into a human being. And have a little, have a nice set of balls, and go up and meet somebody, and not be sitting there in your left hand looking at your phone. Because I got news for you: a girl does that to me. Obviously, she's not interested. But even if she is, you think I'm hanging around and waiting for her to get down? There's no point of that stuff anymore. It's more important to, if you're going to be with somebody, you're with them. If you're not, then don't, you know. And then, you know, you'll hear all the, I hear all the sad stories. I can't do this and I can't get this. I'm like, goodbye. You know what I mean? It's like, this is what I want to do. This is the deal. I want this place to be the biggest thing that you've ever heard and seen. I want to get all those places. I want to get to Iceland next year. I want to get to Scotland. I want to go Basque lift stones in Spain for a month. I want to get on the road with some of the people on the show and go and speak. There's a million things I want to do, all right? I don't have time for people like blubbering over nothing.
No, you know? Very true.
And I want, you know, and I want to go live. You know what I mean? You know what a lot of people do, and I want your comments. Don't you think too many people just worry about nothing?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been, I mean, being a girl that's, you know, in her early 20s, I've, you know, been guilty of that. You know, I've gotten anxiety over stupid things. And I'll relate it back to lifting, because like we were saying earlier, lifting can teach you so many things about yourself and give you confidence. Yep. And at the same time, something that happens to me often is, you know, being in, I think that because of my confidence from lifting, I will speak my mind. So if I don't like something, I will speak it. And people don't always like that. And that's okay, because I am who I am. You know, I'm not out to hurt anyone. I'm out to live my own life. People will judge you for that. That's fine. I guess where I was going with that story, though, is before, you know, I'm starting to realize, like, it's funny. I went through some, you know, everyone goes through stuff, but going through some stuff I went through, it taught me to look at things in a different light and not worry so much, because if you're working hard, I think deep inside everyone knows if they're doing an adequate job of what they want to accomplish. And it's funny, because I actually said this to a colleague today. She was asking me for my advice on something, and I looked at her and I said, I said, I can give you my advice, but let me tell you something. You already know the answer. It's your intuition. Like, do what your intuition tells you to do. Listen to it. I've gotten very respectful of my intuition as I've gotten a little bit older, because it's usually right, you know? Sometimes you might not know, but it's like if you worry, You can worry about everything. You can worry about, you know, your commute home. You can worry about dinner. You can worry about what you're going to do in the next year or 6 months. It's like you have to have a plan to some extent, but you have to be willing to deviate from that plan because life happens and you can't control that. And I just think being accepting that you can't control other people, because you don't know how someone's going to act. You know, I'm on the train every morning and I witness things that I'm just like kind of in shock over that people can act like that.
Yep.
And be so mean to each other, but it's like, hey, you know, you're the only person at the end of the day you can control, so you got to do
it. Well, and you're right, because you would have liked, we just put this show up, I just did a, we call it 5 for 15, and we started doing that, it's 15, about 18 minutes a show, and it's just awe-inspiring, I mean, we're right in your face, we're telling you this, that, because I felt like people, when they were saying we listen to it when we walk and all that, well, I was like, how would you like to have something when you go to work that's going to just jumpstart you, no matter what you like or dislike about your job? You listen to the shows when you come home. You're going to feel like, man, you can move mountains. That's how we do them. And Janelle Peake and I did a show last week which just crushed. And I that was exactly what I said. I hear the way people talk to one another, the disrespect, all that stuff. And we did the show. It's called Beaten into Submission. And it went a lot on those lines, and also went how people will beat you mentally into the ground so hard, and anything you want to do, they'll put you down, and you'll end up living their lousy legacy when you could have had something great for yourself. And then we did a show today, another 5 for 15 with Adam Glass, and it was called Obsession. And let me tell you, it is off the frig. I'm going to put the show up tomorrow. It is wild, man. You know, what are you obsessed with? What gets you going? And, you know, of course, we're reverting all back to lifting and business and all that. But you know something? You listen to that stuff, whether you're thinking about it or not, and you get fired up, man. And my feeling is this. If I can get somebody going to work and they have the best 3 hours in the morning of their day, and whatever happens after that, you're going to have to figure that out. But if you can walk in there with that type of enthusiasm and not let anyone get under your skin, man, because you're just so fired up, you can imagine what it'd be like if you're living that life 24 hours a day. Even when bad things happen, they begin to roll off you because you're so damn confident and you know you're going to find a solution and the way out. And, you know, you're going to attract that type of person around you, and that's what happens when you start feeling success with a business. I want you to comment on that, but we'll get right into injuries and how, believe it or not, they can be a benefit to your career. But comment on any of that stuff if you want, Brittany.
Yeah, no, I just, when you were talking about like the confidence and, you know, surrounding yourself by like-minded individuals. And with that being said, one thing I wanted to touch upon is, you know, I guess, I mean, I hate to say this because it sounds kind of cocky, but I guess I'm quote unquote social media famous, whatever you want to say with that.
It's all right.
Which is
that's
great.
Cool.
You know, I've been able to inspire people. You know, when I was at the Arnold, a random girl came up to me and told me that, you know, after her dad had passed away, that some of my posts inspired her. So that's awesome. Like, having that ability is amazing. Now, with that being said, there's also cons. And I don't really pay attention to it because I don't really care. But in the beginning, when it first started happening, it bothered me. You know, the comments about me looking like a man, or, oh, my God, she must be on so many steroids and all that stuff. And I just want to let, you know, anyone know that when you get a little bit of success, you know, that's intimidating.
They're coming after
you,
man.
So men and women that see you as a threat will say things to knock you down, and it's just up to you to just let it roll off. Because at first it bothered me. Now go ahead, say whatever you want, because I'm glad that, you know, that I affect your life in that way. So
That's good. But I'll tell you this: you don't look like a man. So
no, I know. I don't think so either. I just think
no. But you know what I mean. It's worth, I love women, and you don't look like a man to me.
No, thank you. I know I don't. So it's just funny that people say stuff like that.
But you know what? There's a lot of people. There's, like I said before, how many men act like men now? Seriously.
Oh God, I don't know.
you're gonna have to go and try to dig one up. I think there's not a lot anymore.
I know.
But you know, let's talk about injuries. You've had some, I've had some. Let's talk about the injuries you've accumulated in the last year where you have had some problems. And tell me, obviously, I know it's a mental thing you go for, because I know with the arm with me mentally. But tell me what you went through a little bit, how you reorganized. We just talked about that. What do you have to do to zig and zag and get yourself back into whatever it is you're into? And now, obviously, you're training. Tell me the events a little bit, and we'll go from there.
Of course, yeah. So, you know, having always been an athlete, of course, things are going to hurt. I'm not always going to feel great. But back in April when I was training for the Kumite, that I the reason I competed was because you could – you won, you got your Arnold invite, which I wanted to get out of the way early. Because I know, yep. You know, honestly speaking, it was pretty quick turnaround, you know, from the Arnold, which was a heavy show, and I got back to heavy training pretty much right away, which yep. is kind of how I have been, you know, ever since I started Strong Woman 2 years ago. To be completely honest, until I was injured, I've never taken more than 6 days off, which isn't recommended. Yep. But, right. you know, being young and dumb and headstrong, I was like, well, I guess I'm different. Nope.
Yep.
It kind of bit me in the ass,
yeah,
but that's okay.
Same thing.
So
yep.
I ended up hurting my hamstring, just a slight tear, the same one I had. I actually injured it years ago, like 6 or 7
yep.
years ago, while I was prepping. So I talked to my coach. We adjusted. You know, I went a little bit lighter. Felt fine. During the contest, it was a 2-day contest, and on day one, there was a max keg carry, which obviously, you know, depletes your body, lactic
sure.
acid buildup. And
yep.
I just felt kind of crappy going into the deadlift, but everyone else, all my competitors were in the same boat, so I said, whatever. I knew how many reps I had to get, and on the second to last one, I did this really ugly jerk, and I felt my back go. Like, it was like an instant, like my brain was telling me, like, stop it, stop it. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I've hurt
yeah.
my back before. It's just part of it. Like, you're going to get sciatica. You're going to get certain things when you're a lifter. It's just part of it. But this was different because, and I'm sorry to be so grotesque on this live radio, but I literally couldn't even control, like, it was hard for me to even, to go to the bathroom. Like, it just
yeah.
hurt my entire body,
yep.
and I was worried that something terrible was wrong, but, I still competed on it the next day. I didn't even
yep.
do warm-ups, though, because it hurt. Like, I remember texting my coach, and he was like, you know, really dig deep, and I thought to myself, I was like, you know, this is really important to me, but is this stupid that I'm competing when I can barely walk?
Yeah.
But whatever. And anyways, I dug really, really deep, ignored the pain, and I ended up coming out on top with a victory. Now, with
Amazing.
That being said, the days following
yep.
were not easy.
Yeah.
I used all my vacation time because
yep.
I'm not exaggerating, like walking upstairs, I had to walk sideways,
yeah.
turning over in bed, like doing day-to-day activities, it was like
yep.
I was handicapped, and it was
Yep.
It was pretty depressing. Then on day 7, I remember I saw the light. I went to the chiropractor, and he said, oh, it's definitely something with your disc there. Full out in spasm, got the MRI. It ended up being 2 bulging discs and 1 that was herniated. But in all
wow.
honesty, I may have done this a long time ago. It was just
yeah,
because
yeah.
it was in such, you know, because I forget the percentage, but more than half of lifters have some type of disc issue.
Sure.
Or even just regular people. You know, actually, if yep. anything, people – that's another point I want to make. People are like, oh, you do, that's stupid. I'm like, no, because it actually kind of bulletproofs me from everyday life activities. Like, I can shovel
Absolutely.
Snow and, you know,
yep.
not get injured. But anyway, so the days after that, it was kind of, I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit nervous. I'm like, what does this mean for my future as an athlete? But then I started reading stories. I looked at, you know, some athletes I look up to, and I'm like, they've all had
yeah.
serious injuries. And if there's a will, there's
yep.
a way, and I was determined that this was going to make me a better, smarter, more all-around athlete.
Yep.
And I was talking
yep.
to my coach, and he laughed because he basically predicted this would happen to me. Because of my
yep.
personality, it's just who I am. I'm really, really hyper, always on the move, always pushing
yep.
to the limit. He said,
yep.
I bet that because you're now forced to take some time off, you're going to come back and feel amazing. And I kind of was like,
yeah.
all right, well, I don't know. We'll see. He was right. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You're,
he was
you're
right.
going to be more driven. There's no doubt.
Well, so I took time off. You know, I didn't want to compress my spine. So I took, to be completely honest, I did take 2 full weeks literally off. I think on like day 6, I went for a walk and did some planks. I mean, they were really, really ugly.
Yeah.
But I did
yeah.
that. And then I slowly started getting back into, you know, some cardio. And then I think by like week 7, I was on the machine,
yep.
the belted box squat, because I still, you know, I wanted to give myself a full 12 weeks of not putting a barbell on my back to compress my spine.
Yep.
Now, I
yep.
may have gone back to some things like, you know, some, you know, picking up some objects like sandbags and stuff a little bit too quick.
Sure.
But at the
sure.
same time, I always thought that I'd be afraid to push myself again, but yep. I gave myself a full, and I'm proud of myself for this because it was hard. I didn't do conventional deadlift for 14 weeks.
Yeah.
And I just started doing it again. And to be honest, yep. it feels better than ever because I had built up that foundation for, you know, so many years and, you know,
oh, yeah.
14 weeks yep. in the grand scheme of things is nothing.
Considering if you screw around too much, you won't be doing it anymore.
Exactly. Because yeah. that was kind of like yeah. my whole thought process was like, I have to be patient now. You know, I'm young. I want to be yep. in the sport for a long time. And the hardest part for me was that last week, as you know from talking to Rachel, was yeah. the first U.S. World Strongest Woman.
Yep.
And I qualified for that, which, you know, you had to place a certain top percentage at the Arnold, which
right.
is Worlds, to get there. And yep. that came out about 3 weeks before the Kumite. And it was funny because I was like, well, I was going to take a break after the Kumite, but I guess not anymore. And I had every intention of going to that and dominating.
Yeah. Yep.
But obviously, you know, I got this injury and I wouldn't have had substantial amount of time to train. And my whole thing is I'm not going to go somewhere unless I'm going to put on a show.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to just train exactly. for this for like 3 weeks and go, because that wouldn't make any sense. Yep. I wouldn't perform how I wanted to. But that was pretty lousy, you know, not being able to compete to see where I stack up against. But at the same time,
yeah.
and one thing that I'm really happy for is everyone, I looked up everyone's age. Some of us are close in age. I actually would have been the youngest one there besides the heavyweight Brittany Cornelius, who's only 23.
Yep.
So with that being said, you know what? It's just more time for me. I'm going to come back faster. I've leaned out a little bit. I've gotten faster. I'm just going to come back better. So I'm not.
Absolutely.
And I think that's, you know, what every athlete has to realize is to make – sometimes it's difficult to make a decision like that, to not go where you belong. But in the long
yep.
run, it's going to make more sense for your goals.
Well, you know what it does too? Even though you're 24, it shows you got maturity. And when you can make decisions like that – there's a lot of people just keep pushing it through because they'll say, ah, you know, it'll heal. You and I both know you get a back injury, and that's a permanent thing usually. And even if they got to go in or you rest it, you know, you're going to still have problems. You got to let things relax. You got to let things heal. Here's what I want to ask you, because this is what happened to me when I had, you know, had to have the bicep fixed. Were you going nuts mentally? Because I was.
So, yes, it was really yeah. hard for me because,
yeah.
you know, I structure my whole life around my sport. And
yep.
so I went on, you know, when I was ready to finally work out again, because at first what I was doing is I was like just thinking so much and just making sure I was healthy mentally, because I didn't want to, you know, there were so many times
yeah.
where I wanted to like just cry because I was like, I can't do what defines me. This sucks.
I know.
So, but I use it as an opportunity, and this is kind of where I'm thankful for my injury. I use it as an opportunity to educate other athletes and other people that always ask me for advice about
yeah.
this, because people are like, oh, are you going to come back? And I'm like, hell yeah, I am.
Yeah, really.
So I started a blog when I was injured. It just kind of – my motivation
yeah.
kicked up in other levels because I knew I was
yeah.
still so passionate about this. And – you know, it did dawn on me. I was like, all right, maybe I won't – for a second it dawned on me. Maybe I won't, you know, deadlift really heavy again. But guess what? I'll make other people really strong or something like that.
Yeah.
But
everybody goes through that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And then bodybuilding. I did like a 12-week bodybuilding program. I'm not going to lie. I still touch things like the log and stuff because I just needed to. But I didn't
yeah.
do anything heavy at all for weeks. And my body actually felt amazing. And it was fun. Like I said, I leaned out a little bit.
Let me ask you this. I mean, and you know from doing this long enough, unless you're telling it, does your body really know what you're lifting?
No.
Seriously, I mean, okay. And see, that's where people make the grand scheme mistake, because they're like, and I used to be the same one, got to go heavy. Well, if you're injured or you're, I don't like using that word overtrained, but if you're a little bit beyond where you should be, why? Well, I got to do it. I said, no, you don't have to do it, because, you know, if it's not, if you don't back off a little bit, you're going to be forced to back off via injury, or you're not going to be able to sleep at night. And you know the whole thing. When you start getting your adrenals fried, you got big trouble. So that's a hard thing, I know, for all of us. But I'll tell you, I've learned the hard way, too. You know, when I tore that bicep, that I've never had an injury like that. First thing I said when we walked into the ER is, am I ever going to lift again? I didn't care if my arm was falling off me. That's my – and the doctor kind of looked at me like, what? I was like, am I ever going to lift again? He goes, yeah, you are. But, I mean, I was so friggin' upset about that, you know, and you're watching your arm grow black and blue by seconds, you know, and here we go. But, you know, it's like everything, your approach, how you handle things, how you carry things out, and how you implement what you're doing is going to make the difference. And, of course, you know, we're not even talking about recovery as far as sleeping and the nutrition that goes into a body, especially when it's injured, is vital for you to recover and come back stronger. But I agree with you. It's unfortunate we have to deal with stuff like that. But when you're playing around with big toys like this, the ability to hurt yourself is very real. But you know something? I'd rather go down with something like that than just be some dude in a chair that falls the hell out of it, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, no, I agree.
Or you got to go live in some home and have somebody put a diaper on you. No thanks. That's, you know, that I think we just come from a different realm. We don't think a lot like other people. I mean, I just know from my own experiences, you know, I say things or I do things and they look at me like, man, oh man. You know, I was telling Will Dinwiddie today, it was funny. We were dying because he's had it done to him. You'll run into people from high school, college, right? And you haven't seen them in a while. And they'll come up to you, shake the hand. And the first question they'll ask you, and they know, you still lifting? And I'm like, yeah, this is what I do for a living, and this is what I do with my life. Oh, geez, you know, I got over that after college. You know, once you get married and you have – I was like, well, I'm not married. I got other goals. I'm not saying that would never happen, but right now, you know, blah, 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 blah. Geez, you know, and you look at them and, you know, these guys are in their late 30s and they look like hell. You know, I mean, they got the gut, they've got the receding hairline, you know, and they look like they need something to get rid of the estrogen because they got man boobs and, you know, they still wearing their Giants jersey and all. And I'm like, holy shit, nothing changes. It's just like 25 years later, 20 years later. And it's like, and they're ragging on me. I got a full head of hair that's not gray and I look pretty damn good still. And it's like, I'd much rather be me, because this is what my life works for me, than I can see where they are. I mean, they're you know, even though they're married or split up, they're still going to bars, man, and watching football games every Sunday. I'm like, I wouldn't number one, I got too much to do here. I wouldn't piss 10 minutes away in one of those places. You know, it's like things change. People change when you start doing things like this. I remember when I started lifting, you know, a few of my friends, we all lifted together. But the majority of them, we just all went our separate ways. You know, I mean, we played football and all that. But after all that stuff and you go to college and everything, you kind of just split off. I never stopped doing this, and I'll never stop doing this until the day they plant me into the ground. That's about it, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm the same way. And it's like, but with that being said, it's like you have to respect. You never know. Like, maybe someone doesn't lift, but maybe they're a multi-billionaire. Right. So just it's all about, like, respecting goals. But, you know, we share the same, you know, we share the same bond and the love for strength and, you know, never stopping. And I'm the same way because I think – and a funny story, and I kind of want to leave on this note because it's kind of just a funny story, was my mom – One time jokingly said to me, you know, she goes to a gym. She doesn't like, she's an athlete, but she doesn't like compete in this. And some of her friends at the gym follow me on Facebook and stuff. And I had to laugh because I guess they said to her like, oh, how does Brittany not work or anything? And she laughed and, you know, because on social media, it looks like, I guess that's all I do is like lift and stuff. But no, she was like, oh, nope, she has a full-time job. You know, she works an 8 to 6 and then goes to the gym at night. So I just think that people don't realize and, you know, what it takes. So I think, you know, there's always, and I guess the last thing I'll say is there's always a way. You know, if you're someone listening to this, just going for a walk, it's all about prioritizing your time. I don't care if you work 3 jobs, you have 4 kids and no money.
Yep.
There's always a way to get better, and you just got to figure it out.
You can walk for 15 minutes a day and do the best you can to stay in shape, and that's for sure. Brittany, give out all your information. I'll give mine out. If you hang on the line for a moment, please, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. So it's bdimestraining.com. Again, bdimestraining.com. My Instagram is b_dimes. You can follow me on there. Follow me on Facebook. I'm from Boston. I train out of Titan Barbell and Total Performance Sports.
Cool. This is Motivation Muscle. This is streaming radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Check out the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle free ebook. Just download it. All we need is your email address. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. 2 very easy programs, very simple to understand. If you like what we talk about on the show, you're going to love that stuff. Go out and check that out. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com. You can go /category/podcast. Plug in any names on there. You'll get every show that's ever been on with whomever's on with me. Also, I'll go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. If there's a show you'd like Brittany and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. I thank everybody for that. Don't forget, you can go out to the two main sites, which will be one eventually, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com, and I'll leave you with this. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to say hello to them or give them a smile. You never know what it's going to do for them. 5 words can change your life. Same way as my mom used to say, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. The same thing. It's very important. If you're going to lift today, lift it, bend it, break it, push it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as our great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says, in blood red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's path. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your way. Everything. I live by those words. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to Motivation Muscle from the beginning, when I hear your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Hey, man, that's what we love to hear. We love aggression. We love power, endurance, speed. But most of all, we love giving to everybody out there. We want you to come aboard and join our family. Thanks, Russell. We'll say that for the next 30 years. And I want to leave a few things and we're gonna before we sign off. Once again, Frank Klein, who was my marketing teacher in college, great guy, repetition, repetition, repetition. My father would always say, be a leader, not a follower. And as John Ridge said, keep smiling, and that's for sure. And also, don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Be a steward of strength. And most of all, tell 100 of people that we're coming, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick it in. Brittany, thanks for being on the show. Super.
Thank you so much, Eric.
You are welcome. So for Brittany Diamond, this is Eric Fiorello. We will get her on again, I promise. And do something great out there. The world's waiting for you, I'm telling you. Have a great week, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.